grateful, man, that we can be in such an hour that we're living in to be in this country. So I'm very emotional this morning because of the grace of God and because of what he's given. But I'm also very emotional about the reality of where this nation is headed. I'm probably going to preach one of the most important messages I think that I will preach this year. I probably said that last week or the week before. But it seems as though that the messages of God are getting more intense. They're getting more closer, and that is what's called birth pangs. I will do my best to be on my best behavior, but I can't promise you that I won't act up. But I ask everybody to share this message as far as you possibly can, because this is a very severe warning, and I need to share it with you. Let me begin reading to you the word the Lord spoke to me this morning. He woke me up around 3:30 or so with a specific message, which I'll give to you. But then later on I received this word. Listen to this. The sins of the nations have reached a tipping point. There's no return to yesterday, to the folly of vain imaginations, of false hope and false peace. The hour of war is here. There will be no peace to those who raise the sword in their vanity, pride, and rebellion. I will expose this nation's nakedness. I will reveal her weakness. Listen to this. This is very powerful. Her horses of iron and her machines of steel will be vulnerable to her enemies. The secrets of this nation's strength have been made known. Let me read that again because it's worth you hearing this. The secrets of this nation's strength have been made known. Her rearward has no guard. Her eyes have no sight for her protection. Her prestige has taken flight. I will expose this nation to the world. I will reveal the reason for my rejection. He said, I will reveal the reason for my rejection, and I will be justified and glorified in the midst of slaughter. To my church, my bride, this is your time to abide within my walls of protection and provision. This is your day of salvation, your hour of rescue. Be not afraid of the terror that is coming. The shaking is not for breaking. This is to the church now. The shaking is not for breaking, but for the awakening of those who slumber in Zion. Wake up and arise, for the Lord of hosts is coming to judge the nations. A very powerful word from the Father, very riveting. And I believe that we are on the precipice of some tremendous changes in our world. In fact, they've been happening in real time in slow motion, but the reality is they've been happening. And if you put these events together, it would be very staggering, the hour in which we're living in. This morning when he woke me up at around 3:30 or so, I heard the words collateral damage. Collateral damage. I've preached a message called Collateral Damage in November of 2016. And as I heard those words, I just kind of said, okay, and rolled over and went back to bed. Anybody ever done that before? And when I woke, the Lord brought that back to my attention a couple of hours later, and he said, collateral damage. And so I knew that I was to minister this particular message to you. So if you are keeping score, you can just say collateral damage part two. But I don't look at it that way. I look at it as his announcement that is so severe and so concerning that he wants me to mention it twice. Anytime you see where God is mentioning something twice, it is in a very severe reference, and he's trying to get somebody's attention. So collateral damage. By definition, injury inflicted on something other than an intended target, specifically civilian casualties of a military operation. That is the definition of collateral damage. And as the Lord spoke this word that I read to you, he brought me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. I'm not familiar with Isaiah chapter 5 at that time, even though I have notes in my Bible and highlighted some references. I did not know what it said, as I don't know a lot of things. When the Father will quote scripture to me in references, I have to go back and I have to look. Maybe you've memorized the Bible, but I have not. And so when I begin to read Isaiah 5 and compare the word that the Lord spoke to me, I was, in a sense, speechless because of all the confirmation that is found. And I need to preach this to you, though I know it's going to fall on some ears today that are ready to celebrate the birth of our nation. You're ready to celebrate independence and all these different things of freedom. But I'm going to have to bring to you and to the nation a message that is contrary to popular opinion right about now. And so I'm prepared to fight against the opposition that I know will be there. But I really don't care. So I'm smiling right now. You already told me you love me, so I'm just going to let it out. Can we do that? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now I will sing a song to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. The prophet begins with a song. He begins with a poem. He begins with a melody of the greatness of the city of Jerusalem, the greatness of Israel, the greatness of the people of God. He is singing this song about all that God had done for these people. And prophetically, I believe that it applies to America, and I believe interchangeably we can put our name there, because coming this Tuesday, all across this nation, we will have celebrations, we'll have all kinds of parades, and we'll have flags being waved, and we'll go back and reminisce about the days of freedom and about the birthing of our nation and all those things that Independence Day provides. There'll be more cows slaughtered on the altar of a barbecue, come on somebody, than at any time during our year. And I'm not against that, and I say celebrate and enjoy your meal, but I want to mix the celebration with mourning and reality of where we are. We're singing songs about victory. We're singing songs about these things that took place so long ago, when we do not recognize and realize that we are in bondage even now. And so I know this message will not make some people happy, but as I told you, I don't really care. He said, I'm going to sing this song about this vineyard. Again, we're singing the songs about how wonderful our nation is. We're singing the songs about how fruitful our nation is, when reality is we're a nation that's going to hell in a handbasket. But nobody wants to talk about it, and nobody wants to tell the choir to change the tune. He said this, my well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. The word fruitful there means fat. Shimon is the name in Hebrew. It means fat. It means to have oil. It means to be prosperous. It means to be fertile. It means the fruited plains. And so I know when the Father spoke this to me, he is speaking to America, that we are the fruited plains. There is no other country like this nation. Having traveled to all these countries that my wife and I have done and have been a part of, ministering under dictatorships and places where freedom is suppressed, we understand and realize that when we fly back to America, we're in the land of the home of the free, the proud, the brave, and all those things that we are. But we got a problem, Houston. We're a nation that has forgotten God, and we've rejected righteousness in every form and facet of that word. He has a vineyard, and it's a very fruitful hill. The mindset of every American, when we are raised up, we are raised up with the understanding that we are exceptional and that there's none that can compare to us. And I would have to agree, when you look across the landscape of poverty, when you look across third world countries and politics, when you look across the world and you see sickness and disease that they're still fighting, yes, we are a great country. But as I prove to you throughout this chapter of Isaiah, we fit this picture perfectly. Even though your preacher won't preach it, it's the reality of the hour. Verse 2. And he fenced it. We're talking about the vineyard now. And he fenced it. He put a wall of protection around it. Except for terrorism that has taken place upon our soil, whether our government denies it or accepts it, does not make it different or null and void. The reality is this: we've had terrorism on our soil, but we've never had a foreign entity successfully take over this country. Even though we fought campaigns in foreign theaters of war, it's never really came to our shores. If it did, it was only a trickle here and there. He said, I fenced it, and I gathered out the stones thereof. He gathered the stones, which represents the idols. God said, I took, and I hedged the protection around this great city. I put around the nation of America angels. I put around this country righteousness, and I took away the stones of opposition so religious freedom could flourish throughout this country. I'm thankful today I can stand behind a pulpit with a Bible in one hand and a microphone in the other and declare truths to anybody that will listen to me. I'm grateful that my mouth can declare the words that I speak here without being censored or having fear of prosecution or persecution or imprisonment. I'm grateful for that freedom. And he gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine. Again, going back to my description of America, there is no country like this nation. We are that beautiful vine that produces produce and products and all the things that we have and have had over our history. America has been blessed, and nobody can deny that. The very fact that we have people willing to risk their lives to get here tells you something. Some of us wouldn't risk our lives to stay here, or work here, or be a part of this experiment, if you will. But there are those that would get on a raft or an old 57 Chevy and push off from the harbors of Havana and die in the Florida Straits just to be here. They're not here for McDonald's or for Walmart. They're here for the blessed freedom that this nation has been given. And he planted it with choice vines, and he built a tower in the midst of it. Again, America's had this time of protection and provision and peace. We've had a tower in the midst of our country, and that tower is not the U.S. military. The tower is not politics and politicians and legislations. That tower has been the Lord Jesus Christ. That tower has been the church of Jesus Christ. That tower has been the Word of God, who has anointed those entities that I just spoke of and gave them the ability to do what they do. We have a tower. His name is Jesus. He is the strong tower in which we run into in a time when calamity comes to our country, when terrorism comes against us as it did in 9/11, and all the types of natural disasters. We run to that tower and to that mountain that is higher than us. We're a nation that's been blessed. No other nation has preached the gospel like America. No other nation has sent the gospel to the far-flung corners of the world than America. No other nation has given up the blood of the martyrs of missionaries than America on foreign fields. There have been other Christians and other nations who have shed much more blood than we have. And I'm speaking of the underground church in China and other places. But America has sent this gospel truth. And because of that, God put a tower in the midst of our nation. Because of our love for Israel and our protection of Israel and the right of their existence to be in that place and to be in holy ground that was given to Abraham and the descendants, God has blessed America. And there's a tower right in the midst of us. And he said, and also he made a wine press therein. The wine press represents not only prosperity, but it represents the anointing of God. There's a negative side to the wine press and a positive side to the wine press. We've had prosperity in this country. Even though poverty has been a part of our life and it's plagued in our inner cities and our countrysides, our roadside places where nobody ever goes to in the backwoods of the Appalachian Mountains, where if you would go, you would be so appalled. I've been there. World Outreach Ministries has been there. My wife and I have been there. And we can tell you there's another side of America nobody wants you to see. But regardless of that, we are a prosperous nation. What other country can you go to and flip a hamburger and make $15 an hour? No pun to those who operate in such a manner of living. I thank you. I like mine medium well. But the reality is we are a blessed nation, and he gave us a wine press to allow that production to take place. It also speaks of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, where you can go into a church here in America and it be so big and so wonderful and everything's modern. It's nice that you're sitting on a padded chair today in air condition and all the things that we have, and the toilet is in the building. Come with me and I'll show you where it's at. It's just down around the corner. I'm talking about the restroom. But all these things Isaiah the prophet is painting. And this is exactly the attitude of the prophetic community today, who has bought the lie that all is well and we're living in a reprieve. They're singing the song and the praises of this nation every single Sunday, and every time they get on the media platforms, they talk about the grandeur and the greatness of our nation. And they use it as a coating and a cover to keep the people blinded to the reality that we're in. Our politicians do it every single time that they stand up and speak out of their forked tongue. It happens every time that you listen to somebody who's in charge of a corporation and they tell you that all is well with their company. That's a lie. But this is the mindset, and we listen to this mantra Sunday after Sunday, television program after television program, email newsletter after email newsletter, and we begin to believe that, oh my goodness, we are living in the greatest days of prosperity and power and prestige this nation has ever seen. And that is so far from the truth. I'm sorry, I am not a make-believe artist. I am not somebody who likes to live in fantasy island. I am a realist. And if you're going to tell me the news, tell it to me straight. Tell it to me hard and give me the facts, Jack. And I'm going to do that right now, if you don't mind. And he looked. The Hebrew word for looked means he had expectation. It means that he had great expectation when he was ready to look. Can I tell you something? God has great expectations for America. He looks upon us and he loves this nation. He loves his people. He loves the church. He loves you with an everlasting love. But he looked upon the nation and he expected to find something of a blessing. Can I read you the rest? And he looked upon it that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. So in other words, God said with great expectation, I'm going to look upon my people. I'm going to look upon my nation. I'm going to inspect them. I'm going to look at them. Oh, I'm so glad of my vineyard. I'm so glad of all the victories that have taken place. I'm so grateful. He says, but when he began to look to see the produce that should be a reflection of his word, a reflection of the law of God, he looked and he found wild grapes. The Arabs called wild grapes. Are you ready for this? They called them wolf grapes. They were bitter. They had an odor and they were poisonous. Y'all better, I'm trying to be cool. That's why I didn't wear a suit today. I wore holy jeans in case I break out. He said, I had expectation. Every morning the mercies of the Lord are renewed. He wakes up with expectation that maybe today the church will wake up and do something great. Maybe today the politicians will make righteous decisions. Maybe today the church who's backslidden would wake up on fire with the Holy Ghost. He said, but I looked and all I found was wild grapes. The translation in the Hebrew, are you ready for this? Stink berries. So God wakes up and he says, well, he never sleeps or slumbers, but we wake up, he beholds us the next day. He looks and he sees, he don't find the grapes that he wanted. He finds stink berries. And they're all over the church today. Stink berries. They're all over our plains, our fruited plains of America. Stink berries. Berries that look beautiful on the outside. Beautiful inside the package in the produce section. Beautiful at the farmer's market. Beautiful in the basket on the table. But when you go to examine it, it stinks. And when you put it in your mouth, it becomes bitter. And then when you swallow it, it becomes poisonous. That, my friend, is the condition of America today. We're stink berries in the very nostrils of God. I'm just telling you what he told me to tell you. I already told you that he loved you. And if this don't apply to you, then don't be offended. But if it offends you, you need to get the stink out of you. He said, wild grapes, stink berries. I looked, I inspected, I hoped, I was looking forward to finding some fruit like Jesus did when he cursed the fig tree. He said, I'm hoping to find some fruit. I'm hoping to find something that I could rejoice in. And see, we have the opposite. We're singing our praises. We're singing our independence. We're singing all these things and lighting off fireworks and waving flags and all the things that we will do. But God says you stink. I tried to smile. We don't want to hear this today, Sister Carla, because we live in this fantasy world that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't imply to my nation. No, no, look at my nation. Look how awesome we are. Verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. I have an announcement to make to America and to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's decision time. It's decision time. Whom will you serve? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of a dollar bill? Or some presidential person, or somebody in high places? Who will you choose today to serve? Will you listen to the word of the Lord that's being preached to you? Or will you go back to sleep watching your favorite program? Watch verse 4 with me. Could you turn that for me? Just turn it, make it move or something. I like a fan, but that's a blizzard right there. Watch verse 4. Don't lose sight of what I'm fixing to tell you. You've got to see this with me. You've got to have eyes to see and ears to hear this right here. Watch this now. Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard? Here's what the Lord impressed upon my spirit. America, what more could I have done for you? What more could I have given you? I gave you the best. We have the best in this country. If you don't believe me, come with me to foreign countries and come with us to Europe, and you will see that they don't have the best as they tout it to be. America is awesome. But God said, what more could be done to my vineyard? What more could he have done? He sent us the greatest evangelists to come and circumnavigate our nation. Look at the Christian television today. You can turn on and hear all kinds of preaching, and all kinds of media platforms are available. Have we changed? Have we turned towards God? No, we've rejected him and we've gone further into Babylon, further into lasciviousness and unrighteousness. And God says, what more could I have done for you? I sent your revivals. And you castigated the preacher and the prophet, and you made fun of him because he wasn't from your denomination. You caused scandals to take place throughout churches. And you prosecuted my people, my servants. When I read this, I was riveted to my heart. I said, oh God, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? This is what I want to say to you, church, today that is backslidden. What more do you want before revival comes? What more do you expect God to do before you finally fill the altars with repentant hearts and call upon the name of Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, there's nothing more God can do for this nation except bring judgment, and judgment will bring repentance and restoration and revival. I have preached that for years. And I am thoroughly convinced by every tick of the clock and every change of the calendar, we've gotten no closer to God, even though you say you got your man in power. I wish I had a friend somewhere within a 50-mile radius. Do you understand anything I'm saying to you today? He said, what more could I do for you? What more could I have provided for a nation that has it all? Ain't no preachers like the American preacher. Standing behind a multi-million dollar facade of a building. Cameras. And all these things. But yet my brothers and sisters in Africa have more power in their pinky than most of these mega pastors and all them donkeys they have on staff. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Again, he says it. I gave you everything. I was your husbandman. I gave you the choicest vines. I took out the stones. I kept enemies away from you. I kept foreign entities from invading you and conquering you. I gave you all these blessed institutions. I gave you the military. I gave you provision and protection. I gave you prosperity. I gave you the good life. And what did you do with it? I looked upon you, America, and all I see are stink berries and wolf grapes that are poisonous. You ought to send this to everybody you know. When they come over on July 4th, just play it. I'm not anti-patriotic. I'm very patriotic. And my past service proves that. And my past giving to my community as a public servant proves it. But today I'm a watchman. I'm warning you today. You better get your house in order and get your things right before your God. Wherefore, when I looked at it, should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Verse 5, now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. And I will take away the heads thereof. I personally believe that the hand of God is being lifted off of America as I speak. I personally believe that we're in the time of great chaos, crisis the world has ever seen. He said, I'll take my heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Again, I believe that our military, though I support and I love and have participated, I believe that we are very vulnerable to our enemies, in which I will show you and I will prophetically prove to you what God showed me about our nation and how much trouble we are in. We are in serious trouble. You may not feel that today because you're in your cosmetic Christianity right now. That's pretty good. You're in your consumer Christianity where you got a few bucks and a few things are going on. You got some projects going on, the God bless it, and all these different things that we do and we have as believers and as citizens of this nation. But we become blinded to the reality of the prophetic because we don't want the good times to end. And I will lay it waste. Verse 6, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. I'm telling you, the doctrine of a reprieve is from hell. The doctrine that it's going to be well with our souls because we supposedly pulled the right lever or we pushed in the right name or all these things that are going around, I believe it is causing the church to sleep and slumber and not to be awake and aware that we're wild grapes. Me and my house and this house here at Ignited, we ain't going to sleep. I'm preparing even more than I ever have for the day. He said, I'll lay it to waste, and it shall not be pruned nor dig, but there shall come up briars and thorns. In other words, with God had an expectation for America. He said, I looked upon it and I was hoping to find grapes. I was hoping to find something tasty. I was hoping to find something that I could use and be a blessing to the nations. But you are sowing into the world wild grapes. And because of that, I will cause thorns to rise up. That speaks of your economy crashing. That speaks of the staff of bread breaking in this nation. No, you don't want to hear it, but it will happen to you. It will happen to this nation. Watch this. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. That is not speaking just of drought in the natural, though we've seen that, and we will see it to continue in a greater pace and a greater depth. But it means that there will be no blessing upon the nation. Rain always represents blessing because rain gives you produce. And God says, because of your sin, I don't want to see any more wild grapes. I'll withhold the blessing. I'm telling you, it's coming, folks. The economy is going to collapse in America and around the world. The Lord spoke to me many years ago. And I've released it to this church back in the old shoebox. And those of you who were there know what I was talking about. But the Lord spoke to me and said, when Israel strikes Iran, he said, I will turn off the financial valve of America. And I believe that conflict is coming. Conflict is here. And I believe there's coming a day very, very soon when all these restraining forces will let loose. It's coming, folks. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Now he begins to explain it in case you ain't got a brain. Isn't he wonderful? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. It's America. And the men of Judah, this pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment. In other words, he looked for the law. He looked for righteousness. He looked to find somebody doing the right thing. He looked for a church that even though they're imperfect, they would try to act perfect. He looked for a people that even though they have flaws, that at least they would lift their hands before God and say, God, I love you. Even when they couldn't understand them. But behold, watch this. Please see this with your spiritual eyes. He beheld oppression. He said, I looked for judgment. I looked for justice. I looked for the right things. But I found lawlessness. I found a people that would rather sin and cover it up with self-righteousness than to be transparent like King David was and said, God, it's me. Can't find preachers to stand up and say, it's me. Too many boards and too many millionaires willing to cover up the sin so the show goes on. I say, expose them so they'll be healed. But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. The cry is this. It's a cry of distress. It means that they're crying for more of what they have. And that is unrighteousness and iniquity and sin. It's not a cry, oh God, forgive me. It's a cry for more. Proverbs 30 verse 15 talks about the horse leech has two daughters who cries, give, give. And God said there's four things that say it's never enough. The grave, a barren womb, the earth that needs water and fire. Read it. Proverbs 30, 15 through 20. Give, give, give me more. Work a 40-hour week, expect to get paid for a 60-hour week. Give me more. Married to one person, want to have sex with everybody you see. Give me more. Pornography like an open sewage in this nation. As you go across your satellite cable television that you pay for. Boy, I feel all alone in this Catholic monastery, but I feel good being alone right now. Give, give, the greed and the gluttony of America. Give, give. One hamburger isn't enough. Give me a double stack. I'm only preaching the word of the Lord to you. Is that all right? Behold, a cry for more, a cry that says, I have not enough. Give me, give me. It's the same in the Christian church. We spend more time asking God to give us stuff than we do giving it away in prayer. The majority of our prayer time is spent on me. And you know that's the truth. Verse 8. Sound like he's going to do the whole chapter. You better believe it. I'm telling you, this is a very stern and a very strong warning. Woe unto them that join house to house, that they lay field to field till there's no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In other words, he's talking about somebody full of gluttony and greediness that they build and they build and they build and they build their homes and they build and they build and they build their lives to the point that they wish that they were the only one on the earth with all their stuff. That's the American mindset, and you know that it's the truth. We're not happy and content with something small in our life that's blessed of God. We want everything else that the world has. Church has become so worldly you can't tell the difference between the church and the world, because the church longs for the things of the world. Verse 9. Isaiah overhears the father say, "In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant." I believe there's coming such a financial crash to America that whenever it hits us, those that are in high places and those that are in low places, you will not be able to differentiate between them. Heidi Baker, a great missionary in Africa. If you know nothing about Heidi Baker, you need to. She had a vision where she saw people in America in welfare lines and soup lines. And they pulled up in Cadillacs and Mercedes-Benz and all kinds of new vehicles. And they weren't there to cheat the system. They were there to survive. I believe there's coming an event to America that will be so severe that it will equalize all of us. But I know that those that love God and who are the remnant will be serving the soup. You didn't catch that, or you shouted amen. You said, "That's me." I believe there's a prudent people that are in this world today, in this country, that are going to prepare for the day of calamity, and we will be the ones to help. But some of you listening to me right now, you have family members who think this is a joke, who listen to their plastic prophets and are deceived. I didn't pick this message today, folks. This is not in my Rolodex. This isn't my July 4th happy sermon. This is from the Lord. And I guarantee you, if you'll listen, you'll hear confirmation of this message the coming days from other folks. Verse 10, "Yea, 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an aeth." What are you talking about, preacher? Doesn't make no sense to me. It means this, that a tenth of the harvest will return out of the seed. In other words, the things will be so bad and so wrong when you expect at least a 90% change in receiving of exchange. You won't get it. You'll get a tenth of it. That ain't good on a return. And I'm not smart with math either. But I do know this, that if I give God 10% now, he's going to bless my 90 now. He's going to bless my 90 in the time of all kinds of craziness. I know he will bless me. He'll bless my family. He'll bless everything about me because I have a protection plan. I'm a tither. I don't rob God. I give, and I've always has given to him, even when it hurts. Do I have anybody that can say amen? I'll say more lest you think I'm bragging. Verse 11. If you've been counting, I'm on the second woe. "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they make follow strong drink, that continue unto night till wine inflame them." We're living in a nation of partying, and that's not just outside in a bar, that's in the house of God. We got preachers drinking beer and wine and whiskey on Saturday, putting a mint and mouthwash on Sunday, and preach like an angel. And you know it's the truth. I don't even use cooking wine. See, I'll lose some people. They'll write me little stupid little letters. "Well, it evaporates inside them, and it's in the Bible." I don't touch it.
If I find that it's on the menu, I don't order it. You say, why? Because I used to be an alcoholic, and I'm not going back to the barf. I'm not going back to my vomit. I'm not giving the devil any place. Don't want it.
I ain't going to have it. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning and they follow strong drink to continue unto night till they're inflamed with wine. You better be careful hanging out with wine bibbers and party freaks who say they're believers on your job. You better depart from them. You can love them. You can pray for them. And you try to help them. But if they don't want no help, you need to get away from them. They're going to be popping pops, popping tops all this week. And the harp and the vial and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in the feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. We will party this Tuesday and not even give God glory for keeping us free. That's why I don't celebrate July 4th in my home. Not like the rest of the people do in this nation. I stopped doing it when we allowed gay marriage to take place in this country, and this church knows it. And I said, we're done with celebrating 4th of July in this house. I love my country, as I've said from the beginning. Don't edit my statements and get a soundbite. I love my country, serve my country. But I'm going to tell you, I don't like where it is and where it's headed. And God is warning us, and he is telling us the hedge of protection is going. You do some right things in the White House, in Congress, I may get a miniature flag. We have it in this church because we pray for this nation. But I'm not going to celebrate. I'm mourning this 4th of July. I'm mourning a death of a nation. Verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. Verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. I've said it so many times, but I'll say it again today, that the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And if you've read any news headlines of late, this country is going berserk. Just the other day in Atlanta, two teenagers were hiding in some lady's home, robbing it, when she came home at 3:30 in the morning with her children, only to find them there with stun guns. They put the stun guns on her, they paralyzed her, they raped her, they sodomized her in front of her children. Teenagers! Ladies, you better go get a gun. You better get the blood of Jesus over your life. You better look around you and stop living in lollipop lane thinking everything's fine and ain't no boogeyman or nobody wants to hurt you. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You better wake up, America. I read that yesterday and I about came out of my skin. I can't stand it. Somebody didn't take them youngins to church. And somebody didn't give a 2x4 to the back end. Can you handle me for a little longer? I got to get this out of me, man. And the mean man shall be brought down, verse 15. And the mighty man shall be humbled. And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. This nation is full of pride, from our president all the way down to the local preacher man. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. I told you, he said he would be justified and glorified. Here's your third Woe. After verse 17, then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it was a cart rope.
Let me explain that to you, what Isaiah was trying to say, and it gets lost inside the language and translation of King James, but basically it means this, that they started out with sin, carrying it like a thread. But by the time they got to the end where God said, I had enough of it, it became a rope in which they carried their sin in a cart. I would tell you today in America, we are carrying our sin with an 18-wheeler. And even that is an understatement, but that's the best I can do.
Everybody starts out small in sin. But America has a rope that is long enough, thick enough, strong enough to hang ourselves from. Verse 19. That say, watch this now. This is where America is. This is where the church is. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. In other words, the people of Israel, they said, we challenge you, God, to strike us. We challenge you, prophets of doom and gloom and all you all that get up there and talk about judgment. We challenge God to do it. Well, bub, you ain't got long to wait because God will not be mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. If you sow to the wind, you get the whirlwind. We challenge God. Our preachers challenge God every single Sunday when they deny to preach this truth, and they know they must. We have the same attitude of 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, where is the promise of the coming of the Lord? Since our fathers went to sleep, everything's the same. You've got to be blind, ignorant, or dead to not see what's happening right now in this country and the world. We are on the precipice of war. Right now. Right now. Nations after nations we are challenging. We are lifting up our sword in vanity. We're telling country after country that will strike you. That will decapitate your regime. Will change you. This is insanity. I gotta go. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is not just applying to the sinner. This is the preacher who's covering up the dung of the nation. These are preachers who are on the payroll of politicians and agendas and all kinds of organizations that are lying to the church. I called them pimps before, and I'll call them pimps again. They're pimping the church for their own agenda. I wish I had 1,000 tongues to preach this message. Pimping the church as a whore to make decisions towards politicians that will give them favors. But yet try to blind the rest of us. Well, that won't work here at Ignited Church and anybody that follows this ministry, because we're going to tell the truth and we're going to take off the covers. You ain't pointing fingers at me on the day of judgment. You ain't going to come to this house and say, why didn't you warn me? I'm telling you, they're calling good evil and evil good. This is the church hierarchy today. Covering up the sins of people because they're the ones that you wanted in power. Honey, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'll offend everybody. Care who you are? You violate the word. If you violate the plan of God, if you deceive God's people, if you're raping the flock, if you are taking from his heritage, I will say something. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. I can't tell you how many excuses I've heard from Christians over this campaign, this election, making excuses for the things that are coming out, for the actions that are taking place, and nobody wants to call it out because it's your guy. I don't have a guy. I have a king. And there ain't nothing bad I can say about him. He's all good. He will ever be good. He's great. And his name is greatly to be praised. But these other folk, they got some issues. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Talking about pride today. I have never seen such bantering going on from the White House, from people in power. I've never seen such tit for tat and such elementary schoolyard fighting. It's appalling and unbecoming of a president. With Obama, we had to deal with his BlackBerry. With Trump, we have to deal with his iPhone. Will somebody shut off the phone and start leading the country into righteousness? Yeah. Will somebody tell this man to shut his mouth? Is anybody here today? But that's going to offend somebody. That's going to make somebody mad because it's truth. What do you do all night in the basement in the hot tub? Tweet? I tweet once a week to let everybody know my message is out, and maybe I'll get an inspirational word, and that's about it. It's insanity, folks. It's a distraction. It's a rouge, like the Lord told us, but we have people that are just paying attention to this thing. But I'm telling you the word of the Lord, it's prideful. But because it's your favorite person, you're going to get mad at me. Verse 22. Got some more woes going on here. Count them woes. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the fire consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. They don't want to hear it today. Church doesn't want to hear me. They don't want to hear other watchmen and the prophets and the people who are declaring the demise of our nation because of our sin. They don't want to hear it. But that's okay. If this is the word of the Lord, it will come to pass, and you cannot stop it. Verse 24. Now let's go to 25. I want to preach that again. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all the anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Watch this as I close. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far. Ensign in the Hebrew means banner. It's called advertisement, if you will, in today's vernacular. It's an advertisement to our enemies. And he will hiss for them from the end of the earth, and behold, thou shalt come with speed swiftly. Let me tell you what the word hiss means in Hebrew. It means to whistle. Let me do it in a foreign language. God says, I'm whistling to the nations that are against you, America. They're over here.
He said in the beginning that the secrets of our nation have been exposed. There are people in foreign countries who know the weak spot of our nation because we've had people in high positions sell this country out years ago. We have no rearward guard. We have no hedge of protection. But listen to me now. He said he's going to hiss. He's going to whistle at the nations to say, here they are. We've been sold out. And we have no protection. But yet we go around, listen to me, I'm closing. We go around the nations threatening them. Just this week, I can't even count the number of nations that we are threatening and telling them what we're going to do to them. When we're in trouble ourselves, it's so bad in Chicago, we got to send in the feds. And I don't rejoice in that because that is a prelude to martial law. Anytime you have the federal government get involved, you better watch out.
What we need to do is send in some prayer warriors.
He said, I'm going to whistle. You don't believe me today, but God is going to allow our enemies to come in. He is going to put a banner up, a sign that says attack right here. And then he's going to whistle so they can get full understanding of where to go. You don't believe me, but watch, it's going to happen. Watch this now.
He said, they're going to come speedily. None of them shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Here's what I want you to see. That the enemies that we have today, we mock them. We scoff them in our strategical planning as far as the military, the Pentagon, and political powers are concerned. That we are the greatest fighting force on the earth. And we look at little Kim Jong-un. And we say all kinds of things about North Korea, and there's no way that they can attack us. There's no way missiles can hit us. We downgrade Russia, and we downgrade China, and we talk against these nations. But I'm telling you, there's coming an enemy that won't miss the mark. They won't. They will hit it dead on. And we are like Goliath telling David, David, what are you going to do with your little slingshot? We're taunting ourselves that we can defend ourselves and we can defend and defeat anybody across this planet. When reality is, God says, I'm going to allow them to strike you spot on. You don't believe me? It's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. I was very emotional yesterday because I saw and I know what's coming to this country. And during this season, it is always disturbing to me because I remember the sacrifices of our forefathers and I see how far we've gone and we squandered this great nation. We squandered our freedom. Verse 28, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, and their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. And they shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. Finally, in verse 30, and in that day, what day? The day of calamity. The day when God looks and he sees the wild grapes. They shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold the darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. I believe we're coming to the day of darkness. I believe that we're coming to an hour of great calamity in our nation. I don't know when. It could be today. It could be this morning, tomorrow, next week, next year. But as strong as I feel about this message, I don't think it is very far off for us dealing with something very heavy in this country. I plead with you, if you don't know Jesus Christ right now, to make him your Lord and Savior. If you're backslidden, watching, listening to me right now, turn away from your sin and your idolatry and call upon the name that's above every name and be born again today. I pray today that you in this house and those listening to me that are associated with us, get your house in order, prepare yourself, cross every T, dot every I you possibly can, and ask God to show you what to do. But most of all, shelter in Him. Heavenly Father, I've delivered your message today. I know it's hard because we are a nation of surfeiting. We're a nation of partying. We're a nation of just walking in our own deception and lust. But I believe you'll make this go viral. I believe you'll make this message go far, and it will hit the right mark. God, help Ignited to do the right thing in these coming days. Help us to plan. Give us wisdom in our leadership. Show us what we must do as we shelter in you. Father, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And it's in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Well, I love you guys. You're awesome. I want to encourage you to be safe this holiday season. Find a place in God on July 4th and really pray. Ask God to give you wisdom what to do. I feel this very, very strongly that we're at the place of no return. I love you. I'll see you Wednesday.